want to know initially in the Torah's Joshua.
Through the issue of Erev Parshas. If you have another Joshua Betzedek Tishbol, very nice. It's okay, Mazel Tov. Good. And Rav Acha Bar Yehuda introduces that. That's his Shita. Fine. But before, prior, just because I don't know the Erev Parshios, I could still derive that I need three Dayanim. Why? Because I just link it to Gzeilus V'Chamoros. And Rabosai, this is the next question that I want to ask you. Because at the end of the day, Rabosai, there's a lot of drushas flying around. There are a lot of different conclusions flying around. But Rav David Bonfer and the Ran are making things very simple. And they're saying, you have a source by one, so now just compare it to the other one. And just extrapolate what you have by one and apply to the other. And this really highlights a question that you all should ask yourself in an analytical mode of this Gemara. Why is it that we're differentiated? Why is it that the Rav David Bonfer, Rashi and Tosfos are not holding them? Why is it that even according to Tosfos, if you don't know the Be'er of Parshios, you need another pasuk of Mishmor Echad Yelachem? Why is it that Rashi is saying that the Mandamer no Be'er of Parshios, and if the Torah doesn't say it explicitly, and I don't have a drasha of Be'er of Parshios, then I don't need three Dayanim when it comes to Odos Valvos? Why not compare Gzeilus V'Chavolos to Odos Valvos? What is different conceptually between alone and the other halacha that's explicit in the Torah of Gzeilus V'Chavolos? Why not say like Rav David Bonfer and just extrapolate one for the other? What's the reason? Rabosai, there's something very fundamental that the Achronim bring out from this debate and from this issue and this question that we're asking right now. Tosfos in Kiddushin introduces two different forms of owing money. Tosfos is dealing with a sugya, it's a complicated sugya, it's called Shibuda de Araisa, that the debt that you owe me is owed, I can go down to your property and I can collect against your will and you don't even have to give it to me because you're Meshubit Minat Torah. Your assets are actually owed to me yourself and you owe it to me, Shibudu De'oraisa. Toso says there are some opinions in the Gemara that say there are certain loans that you're owed to Minat Torah that I can collect against your will and certain cases that Minat Torah I can't. What are the difference between those loans? Does anyone remember the language of the Tosos? Milva haksuva betorah and milva she'eno ksuva betorah. Says Tosos, there are certain situations where I owe you money, but I wasn't the initiator. I wasn't the reason why we owe you money. You know who decided that I owe you money? It's called milva haksuva betorah. It's me having a debt to you. It's me owing you money, but not because we made a loan or we had an agreement. Not because I was mechayev myself or I obligated myself to a certain a pledge or to a certain amount. I wasn't in the driver's seat, but rather, mil v'haksuva b'torah, the Torah was the one who designed such an arrangement. For instance, if I damage your property, if I get involved in the parsha of Nezikin, is that something that I'm agreeing to get involved in? Or automatically, once I damage, the Torah says, Milvak Suga Torah, that's what I'm chayiv. I rape your daughter, the sugas that we dealt with last year, and I have to pay you a certain amount, 50 shkolin. Is that because I obligated myself? Or is it because once you do such an action, the Torah obligates you? I steal your property. Now I have to pay double because I got caught by stealing. Is that something that I obligate? Is that a milve aksuva b'torah or a milve ashimud of a person? Says Tosos, there are some opinions in the Gemara that hold that your property is owed minat Torah by milve aksuva b'torah because that's a stronger driving force that the Torah obligates. And that's a situation where I can go and collect shibud d'oraisa against your will, minat Torah. But if it's just a situation where we were in the driver's seat, or we set up the scenario, we set up the obligation, we were the ones who arranged for our contract, I pledged the money out of my own free will, then the obligating factor, says Tosfos, one could argue, as some do in the Gemara,
and the money that's owned and my lien on the assets is not necessarily shibud d'oraisa, is not necessarily existent on a biblical level. I want to take that distinction that Tosas just brought to us and apply it to our sugya. Similarly, one could suggest that that's the rationale to not necessarily extrapolate from the halachos of gzelos and chavalos to the halachos of halvos. Because just like Tosas says, there's a milveh haksuva b'Torah. There's something that's existing out of your control. There's something that the Torah puts the chiyuv, the Torah puts the shivud, the Torah creates the obligations. And just like we find in certain scenarios, that the lien on the assets might be more stronger because it's a milveh haksuva b'Torah, it's a chiyuv that's existent by the Torah, by the Bible, so too our Gemara and the premise of our Gemara, that not necessarily to link Zelos v'chavolos to Odos v'alvolos is the same rationale. When it comes to Zelos, I'm chayiv out of my own. I'm chayiv not because of me. I'm chayiv because the Torah is mechayiv me. When it comes to chavolos, I punch you in the face. I'm chayiv because the Torah is mechayiv me. That's a milvach suva b'Torah. I owe you money not because of my own free will, not because of our arrangement, not because of our contract, not because of our design, but because of the Torah's decision. So just because you have a source for dayon mumchim by gzelos v'chavolos doesn't necessarily mean that it applies to all dinei mamonos equally. There's already precedent for a distinction lahalacha. Tosus in Kiddushin Adaf Yud Gimel Mabez presents a difference in halacha of me owing you money from something that the Torah is mechayev you and me owing you money from something that I myself was mechayev you. So just like we find that distinction in Tosos between a milvach suva b'Torah, like I mean, the din of shibud d'oraisa, the lien on my assets, being biblical or not, so too the premise of our Gemara is don't be so quick to linking holdos v'alvos to gzelos v'chavos. Just because the Torah introduced needing dayonim mumchim and gzelos v'chavos, because that's one realm of dinei mamonos. That's something that exists against your will. That's something that exists not because you gave up any money or you pledged anything or you were in control. So not necessarily the criteria for one area of dinei mamonos lends itself to the criteria of other dinei mamonos, and therefore I need, as Tosafot says, another source, or as Rashi holds, I don't even have another source. If I don't have a Aver Farshios, and I don't automatically just say what exists for one applies to the other. And that's why I think these Rishonim did not go the route of the Ran B'Shem Rabbeinu David that says we can just compare and contrast Gzelus and Chavolos to Milva. No! Rashi and Tosos held there is something that is totally distinguishable between Odos V'Alvos and Gzelus V'Chavolos, and if you don't have a source to link the two halachos or to tell you that you need Gimel Dayanim by one, maybe you only need Gimel Dayanim to adjudicate a case that the Torah is being mechayev money. But where you set up the whole contract, where you set up the deal, where it's not a milvach suva b'Torah, where it's my own shibud, it's my own ischayvus, it's my own initiation to owing him, maybe the rules and regulations and the type of dayanim and the people that you need to adjudicate such a case follow a totally new level of rules and don't necessarily follow the trace marks of Zelos v'chavolos. That's just an understanding and a background to these two categories that we're messing around with, that we're throwing around, where Rabbeinu David said, compare the two, and we clearly hold from the Gemara that they're not necessarily comparable, and that's what I want you to see from the Tosus and Kiddush. Rabosai, but we're back in the sugya of Erev Parshas. And now we have to really understand. Rashi is telling us, Erev Parshios means that I have a source to need three dayonim mumchen by hodos v'alvos, because what? Even though Elohim was said by gzelos v'chavolos, through the mechanism of Erev Parshios, I can now remove it from Shomrim where it's found from gzelos v'chavolos, and I can now apply it to hodos v'alvos. And this is Rashi, not only in our Gemara, But Rashi in a long Gemara long Rashi by us on Beis Amid Beis is highlighting his chidushim in Bava Kamma, the way he presents the source for Erev Parshios, which is on Daf Kufav Amid Beis going to Kuf Zayin Amid Aleph. Let's get a little context. Let's understand what's going on in order to give a full appreciation and to understand what Erev Parshios is. And that by the end of the day, when we finish the sugya of Erev Parshios, you're going to see this is not just about whether or not you throw things in the air and apply it to other Parshios. There is going to be tremendous ramifications that will affect every single Masechta that you will learn in Seder Nezik. I say that again. This sugya will affect every single Masechta that you will learn, Seder Nezikin, Sanhedrin, Shavuos, Bamitzia, Babakam, Babavasra. No matter what. Makos.
What is Zara?
Says the Gemara as follows. Banu Kovavavis. Omer Rabbi Yoichanon. Hatoyin Tainas Ganav Bibigodon. What is the story over here? A person was mafkin, a pikadon, a deposit, under my shmira. Ooh, we're talking Hilchos Shomrim here. Shomrim, you're a Shomrim. Eino chayiv, I don't have to take a shvua on my claim that I say I'm off the hook because nebuch, it was out of my control and someone stole. Rabosai, tell me what now, what Shomer are we talking about? Who's Pater for Gneva? Who's Pater for Gneva? Shomer Chinam. Says the Gemara, I said it was a Gneva. Do I have to take a Shvua? Zokt Rav Acha. Zokt Rav Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. I don't have to take a Shvua unless I do what? Unless I'm Modim in Mikdas. Unless I say, no, you deposited two animals. One animal, you're right, I really was negligent about and I have to pay you. Even a Shomer Chinam is chayav for Pshia, he was negligent. But one animal, I don't owe you any money, I'm kofir because it was a gneva. So now, says the Gemara, oh, he was just moda b'miktas. He was moda that he's chayav to pay for one, and he was kofir in the other. Says the Gemara, Modu Mimikta Sataina Yeshava, that's the case of Shvua Shomer. That's a case where you're actually Chayav a Shvua as a Shomer. Because the Pasuk says, which Pasuk? Tell me the Pasuk. Ki Huzeh. Because the Pasuk in Parsha Shomrim says you need a partial admission. Ki Huzeh. And that's said as Parsha Shomrim. Comes when the Gemara says, Upliga de Rav Chia Bar Yosef, and this is against Rav Chia Bar Yosef, to Omer Rav Chia Bar Yosef. Oh, what very famous words. Rav Chia Bar Yosef is the one who holds of what concept? Erev Parshios. And Memele if he holds of Erev Parshios, so says Rashi. What does that mean? Why is Rav Chia Bar Abba the initial person who said the statement that you need Modu B'miktas by Shomrim? Disagreeing with Rav Chia Bar Yosef, because Rav Chia Bar Yosef learns Erev Parshios because of Gan. V'chzitziv ki uzeh al milveu d'chziv, says Rashi, and when it said ki uzeh, don't read it in context. Don't read it as pertaining to the area of Shomrim, of deposits, but rather uproot it and apply it to where? Milve. To a loan. But now goes on the Gemara and asks the question, Umayishna Milve? Why? I like reading Mishpatim the way it makes sense. The Parsha of Kihuzeh is found in the Parsha of Shomrim. You're telling me, Gemara, Rav Chia Bar Yosef, that I should uproot it, take it totally out of context, complicate things, and think that I only need a partial admission in the scenario of Halva, out and not what the Torah actually presented, which is a case of Pikadon. Why? What's the rationale for that? What's the reason? And the Gemara goes on. And the Gemara says, Umayishna milve, I'll explain to you. Kidder Rabba. Like Rabba presented us. The Omer Rabba, because Rabba told us, Mipnei ma Omer Torah, Modu b'miktas atayna yishava. Why is it that by Alva, Modu b'miktas has to swear? Ein adam meis pano b'fnei balchovo, v'hai b'kula boy d'nichvirei.
V'hai de lo kafre mishum de'ein adam pei is mana v'ubekule boi de lo delay. Says Rashi, explains Rashi in the Gemara, Rabba explains why modem and mikzas and only modem and mikzas has to take a shvua, whereas when it's kofar bakol and a person totally denies any money that's owed to him through halva, he's totally off the hook. It's counterintuitive. Why should that be? If a guy totally denies it, he should take a shvua. If a guy partially admits it, so Gemara says, Rabba explains, I'll tell you what. There is an underlying theme when it comes to halva, that if a person does a favor for me, I'm not going to be a mechutzav, and I'm not going to lie to him. I'm not going to be meiz panav b'fnei bal chova. I'm not going to take a favor that Hershkowitz did for me and spit in his face and deny any money that he owes, that I owe. And if I do deny it, it must mean that I'm telling the truth. Because I wouldn't totally spit in his face when he did me a tov. But says Rashi, it's very important. Every halva starts off that the malva, the lender, did a tova for the loan. And then one day I say and I come in and I accept and I admit to half. Says Rabba, because of this rationale and this idea that a person's not going to spit in the face of someone who did him a tova, it must mean that really he admitted partially, he really wants to admit all of it. He really wants to be able to pay him back and do the good that he back and return the favor that he did to him. However, he doesn't have the money. It's not on him. He's not holding it. It's not available. So what does he do? He admits to the money that he has. He does a partial admission. And he delays until he has the ability to pay back the rest. And that's what she denied half of it. Is not because he doesn't want to help him out. Rather, he's going to want all the money now and I don't have it. And therefore I'm going to delay it. Therefore, the Torah says, in such a scenario where he's molded to half of it by a milveh, then, since we know and we have a feeling and it smells like there actually is what that's true over here and he's really just trying to buy time, like Rabbi's telling us, so we really want him to admit all of it. So therefore, if you're going to be modem and miktas, we're going to slap on a shvua that's going to cause you not to swear falsely and actually admit to all of it. But, says Rashi, this is all true and correct only in the realm of what? Of a loan. Of halva. In the realm of a pikadon, of a deposit, says the Gemara, the ho hu de'ik v'gabi milvu hu de'ik l'mei marachi. Ava pikadon meyuz u meyuz. When I am holding your deposit for you, Romanov, and I'm watching your cell phone, right? Did I do you a taiva? Did you do me a taiva? No, if anything, the opposite. I'm doing you a taiva. Actually, in this year, you're doing me a taiva. But in general, when you ask me, as you're going on vacation, you ask me to watch, you watch your property, watch your car. And you ask me, who's doing the favor for who? The shomer's doing the favor for the other guy. He's not doing me a taiva. So is there any rationale, Hershkowitz, that I'm going to lie to you? Of course there's rationale that I'm going to lie to you. I don't owe you anything. You didn't do anything originally to be good. That was representative of a favor. So therefore the Gemara says, meyiz u meyiz. He'll spit in his face. No problem. So therefore, says the Gemara, according to Rashi, by a pikadon. The mandam are no ear of parshios. Even if he's kofer bakol. Even if he denies the whole entity, of course he's chayv shvua. We have no idea what's true and what's not. We have no idea about their connection of whether or not specifically modem miktas is signifying that it's true and kofar bakoli would never spit in the face of a favor that it was done to him. It was never a favor done by a pikadon, and therefore even a kofar bakol is chayv shvua even if he doesn't admit even partially. So therefore says the Gemara, that's the rationale, and that was the Gemara's question. According to the Mandamar Erev Parshios, why is it that by Halva we make a distinction that you need a partial admission, you need a modem miktas, and by Pikadon, you don't need a modem miktas? You want to know the reason? Because Rabbi introduced us that there's a concept called a favor, and there's a concept called a Ozas Panim,
And therefore, by modum and mixtus, it sounds like there's something true about the fact that there's more money that we need a shvuah for. And by kofar bakol, by a milveh, there's probably, he's not going to spit in his face, so there's no need shvuah. By pikadum, where that story is not true initially, there was never a favor in the begin with, there was never a concept that he's not going to be meis panim, so no matter what his claim is, he's got to support it with a shvuah. He's got to support, he's got to defend himself. And that's the shakl of Atari in the Gemara of Erev Parshios, according to Rashi. Rabosa, if you look back at Rashi by us, he summarizes all of this. And he says, the reason why I uproot Hodol Svavol, I uproot Kihuzeh, to say that you need a partial claim from Kofar Bikadon to Milveh, is because of this idea of Ha'azaz Ponim, of whether or not we have a relationship of a favor that I'm not going to spit in your face, and therefore if I'm Kofar Bakol, I must, and I deny the whole thing, I must be telling the truth. And if I partially admit to a loan, so therefore there must be something else here that needs to be supported by a shvuah. But otherwise, if I totally deny the whole thing, then I'm obviously telling the truth. Because I wouldn't spit in your face. And therefore, I totally uproot the statement of Kiyuzeh, which makes Rashi say, makes no sense in the world of Pikadon. There's no svara for a partial commitment to make any difference. According to Mandarayir of Parshios, and says Rashi in Sanhedrin, I totally remove this pasuk of Kiyuzeh from the parsha of Avah, from the parsha of Pikadon, and move it to where, Nathan? To the parsha of 50-50 chance? Halvah. Loans. Where did Rashi get it from? Where did Rashi get his analysis from that we're totally removing it from one parsha and applying it to another parsha? No great shakes. He read the Gemara Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Zayin. And he said, the Gemara asked the question, Maishno Milveh. What does that mean, Maishno Milveh? Why is it that by Milveh there's a concept called Modum Mitzas, and by Pikadon there is no concept called Modum Mitzas, and no matter what you say, you have to swear, according to Mandarei Erev Parshios. That's how Rashi got his whole statement. Yeah.
Isn't there a Gemara Bakot that also deals with this?
You're trying to save all of Nezikim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be.
I don't remember. Probably. Okay.
Rashi's no great shakes. Rashi's working well. Rashi says, didn't you read the Kasha of the Gemara? Mipnei Ma'amar Torah. Why is Milveh different? Why Maishna Milveh? Why is it that we take out the whole halakha? The Gemara's saying it. Take out the halakha. What was the Gemara's kasha? Maishna Milveh. Says Rashi, why is it that by Milveh we apply the concept of Modim Mikdas and we totally uproot it from Zelos V'chavolos? From Pikadon. Zelos V'chavolos. Right? Right?
Yeah, what was the question?
No, Rashi's just saying that's the reading in the Gemara. Rabosai. You should all have a bomb question on Rashi. We have a din tire. We have to judge Gzelus v'chavolus. Okay? I'm calling in Rashi to the Bezdin. And I asked Rashi, before the guys come in, the litigants come in, I just want to know, what do we need for this din tire? Okay? We pass an Erev Parshios. What do we need?
Three
mumchen? Where's your source? What did Ezra just say? Ezra don't say? Does anyone have a bomb kasha on Rashi?
Tosos's question.
In Baba Kama. If you're understanding from the Gemara in Baba Kama that Erev Parshios means that you will uproot it entirely, guess what? You just went on overdrive. Overkill. You just messed yourself over. You might have found a source that you need Gimel Dayan and Mumchen for Hodos V'Havolos, but now when I want to talk about what the Torah said explicitly, Gzelos V'Havolos, what did Rashi do? He just uprooted the din of Gimel Dayan and Mumchen. So maybe I don't need it. That can't be! Tell me why that can't be! Very simple reason, because you're registered on YU for this year to learn Maseches Sanhedrin. And what does the Mishnah say, everyone say? That by Gzelos V'Havolos you need what? Three Dayonim Mumchim. But Rashi's definition of Erev Parshios is going up against that. Frektos is Sakasha, the first Kasha he asks on Rashi, is if Erev Parshios really means that. So then you're totally uprooting it. You don't even have a source anymore for Gzelos V'Chavolos.
You just killed Maseches Sanhedrin. You might have a good shtickle Torah and Baba Kama, but you have no understanding of the Gemara and Sanhedrin Beis and Beis. So I don't know how you're going to give shir on that. It says Tosu the Rabbeinu Tam against Rashi. Tosu Baba Kama and Daf Kuf Zayin and Aleph.
But then Tosu takes it one step further.
Tosu says that's not even my most bothersome question, because maybe Rashi will have a way out of that. We'll get back to that line of Tosus.
It says Tosus, if you open up a Gemara Bar Metzia, Sadi Zayin Amid Aleph, which is talking about a case of a pikadon, you're going to see that Rashi is dead wrong. The Gemara in Bar Metzia and Sadi Zayin talks about a machlokes between a toveya and a nitva, a claimer and a claimant, right? And they have an argument about whether or not he owes money for a pikadon. And Ezra Stern, what's the case of the Gemara that it says?
Suppose the case of the mitzvah.
What's the case of the Gemara? I'm not even talking. I'm not even arguing with you yet. I just want to know basics, more basics. What's the case?
They're arguing about
to show. What? Just set up the case. What's the case?
You
didn't
borrow.
You gave two cows over, right? And I set up that. For one of them, you're a shoel, and for one of them, you're a shomer. You're a shomer sacher. One of them, you're going to be able to borrow and use it completely, and one of them, you're a paid watcher. Okay? What's the nafkamina between being a shomer sacher and a shoel? Who cares? What's the nafkamina? Good, Ezra? Whoa, what? What are you chaya for? No. Everyone's chaya for gzela, for ganeva. What are you chaya for? As I just said it, onis, something that was totally out of my control. There was a wind that was totally out of my control that I couldn't have taken care of. Right, Rabosai. Those of you from last year, Nezikin, onis gomer, Nezikin, onis gomer. Machlokes Ramban and Tosis spent a lot of time on it. Onis, something that was totally not under my control. If I'm a shoel that has the benefit of using the item, kol hana shelo, as the Gemara says, I can actually use this item, Morris. So then I got to pay up with the schayus, with the achrayus. Then you better make control that if there's a Hurricane Sandy, you're going to take care of that. I don't care where your stuff is. I don't care if you were totally lack of negligence on your part. You are responsible. You're getting the benefit of using the item, then you better watch it from onus. But if I'm only a paid watcher, and I'm actually not getting benefit of using the item, I just have to watch the item, I'm not a shoel. So then what? If there's an onus, if there's a Hurricane Sandy, am I off the hook?
Yeah.
Yes. So now there's a pikadon over here, there's two animals over here. And the Gemara says, it's a case where you're chayiv shvua. This is a case, the Gemara says, where the person who is nitba, who the tovei is saying, you owe money, let's wake up, guys. You owe him money. Because the Gemara says, you're chayiv shvua. So the Gemara says, what's the case? The Gemara says, I'll tell you the case. I walk in and I say, for both those animals, you were a shoel. Or I walk in and say, let's use that example. The Gemara has different examples of having a split up between shoel. But let's not make things complicated. We set up, and I claim you were a shoel for both those animals. So therefore, what am I saying? You better pay up for both of them. I don't care about a Hurricane Sandy. I'm sorry. I'll maybe pay for the tzedakah fund, but Lamaisa, you better pay up, because you owe me money. And what do I respond back to you? Says the Gemara Bava Metzia. No. For one of them, I was a shoel, but for the other one, I was a what, Zook? A shomer sach. And that's the Gemara says. That was what the Gemara meant earlier, that it's a case where there's a chayiv shvua. It obviously was a case where there are two animals. One of them, I'm saying, I do owe you money because I'm chayiv for ones because I was a shoel on that animal. The other animal, I'm saying, I don't owe you money because I'm a nosei schar, because I'm a shomer sacher. And the Gemara says, and that's the case by pikadon, that you're chayiv shvua. Comes along the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosis and Kuf Zayin of an Aleph and Bava Kama and says, What did the Gemara just say? The Gemara just said the only case where you're chayav shvua by shomer, by pikadon, is what?
If you
have one animal that you modeh, and the other animal that you're kofir, and we're in what area of halacha? What area of halacha? Shaimrim. Says Tosos, what? That's not true according to Rashi. According to the Mandara Eir of Parshios, there is no modeh b'miktzas by shomrim. There is no modeh b'miktzas by pikadon. Not only do I have a question on Rashi from the way he reads Sanhedrin da Bezim and Bez, that he doesn't have a source for Dayanim Muchim by Gzelos v'chavolos because he totally uprooted the Parsha and moved it to Ados v'alvos, but now I have a Gemara black on white that says against Rashi. The Gemara says the only time a Shomer has a Chi of Shvua is if there's Modeh b'Miktzas. What, that Gemara is only going according to the Mandara in Eir of Parshios? Can't be. Tosfos has a proof that the Gemara was going in the Mandamar Eir of Parshios. Tosfos says the Gemara is beferish that it's going according to the Mandamar Eir of Parshios. What's Rashi going to say to that? Yeah, what's it?
Why can't Rashi hold both things in regards to Shomer Chinam and...
Rashi says the definition of Eir of Parshios means Shomer Chinam, you uproot Kihuzeh. Partial admission is only relevant to... Not only that, Rashi has a whole Gemara that speaks that out. Rashi says, Maishno Milva, the Gemara Baba Kama, Maishno Milva from Pikadon. Why, and Rashi defines, why is Milva different than Pikadon? That there you need Modeh b'Miktzas, and there you don't need Modeh b'Miktzas. So it's a Gemara.
So like when the Torah is mentioning Modeh,
according to Rashi, it's totally wrong. Totally uprooted.
How does he interpret, like, I don't get, like, how Rashi, like, what does he do?
That's what Eir Parshios does. Eir Parshios means there's a mikshka babble here. Don't think that the placement is actually inferring anything. If I would return the name Eir Parshios according to Rashi, you know what I would call it? Ikor Parshios. Totally be okir the Parsha, remove it, and place it somewhere else. Avosai. This is a problem. And this leads Rabbeinu Tam to therefore come to the conclusion that what? Rashi got it all wrong. You totally misunderstood the concept of Eir Parshios. Says Tosos, Bama Kama, and Daf Kuf Zayin Amid Aleph. The Mandamar Eir Parshios, he adds in one more word to the Gemara. Bimilvenami Sivki. What does that mean? What's Rabbeinu Tam Shita?
That you can do by both.
Comes along Rabbeinu Tam and says, Erev Parshios does not mean Iker Parshios. Erev Parshios does not mean uprooted from one area of Shomrim and apply it to Odos Valvos. Erev Parshios means a Taruvis, an Irbuvia. Let's mix and match. Let's mix things up. Let's create a Cholent. What does a cholent mean? Means every aspect touches every aspect, every ingredient touches and gets mixed around, and therefore it's not that we're saying by shomrim you don't need modeh b'miktzas. Of course you need shomrim modeh b'miktzas. The pasuk says ki huzeh by shomrim. The din of Eir Parshios is mechadish to me in addition to the halacha of shomrim and pikadon that you need for a shvua. A partial admission, you also need it in the realm of hodos valvos by loans as well. And therefore, Tosel says, my original question about
is different.
About what's the source for Xelos v'chavolos that I dropped on Rashi, that how do you have any source for Gimel Mumchen Dayonim in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Bezim Abez when you're giving Shir in Sanhedrin? According to Rabbeinu Tam, is Rabbeinu Tam schwitzing when he has to give Shir about Gzeilos v'Chavolos?
No.
That's the source. That's what the pasuk says. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, what's with the Gemara about Metzia that says you need two paros and you need a hodah b'miktzas by the case of Bikadon? Is that smooth? Yeah, that's smooth. That's the proof. And Rabbeinu Tam has other Gemaras. As you'll see, there are other Gemaras that seem to claim, by case of Pikadon, that you need Modeh b'Miktzas when it comes to Pikadon. Or Bosa. What needs a serious amount of explanation now?
The question.
You have to explain what
the question of?
In the Gemara.
Gemara in?
Kofzai.
Thank you, Mickey. Rashi had a Gemara that was supporting what Rashi was saying. Rashi had a Gemara that says, Maishna Milva, why is Milva different than Pikadon? That by one you have Modu B'miktzas, and by one you don't have Modu B'miktzas. Comes along the Rabbeinu Tam and says, in his reconstruction package of Erev Parshios, because he's backed up against the wall, and he says, Rabbi Yisai, Rashi missed the boat on this one also. Rashi totally misunderstood the whole Gemara on Daf Kuf Zayin. When the Gemara asked the question, Mufarish Rabbeinu Tam Dehafikam, like we said, he has in the word Nami. The fear of Ahav Nami, but you know, Dov Adishvua, then answer. Oh. What is he good? Back to tomorrow, 1 second. Well, the Gemara Maishna Milva, and how does the Gemara read in Kav Zayin according to the Rabbeinu Tam? Maishna Milva. Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam. Listen to this. A totally different pshat in the Gemara. Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam. My time at the milve perish. My time at the moide b'miktas chayev v'lo mehemen b'migo d'iboi kofar akol. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara is asking an entirely different question. Says the Gemara, I have a question by every case of milve. This guy really didn't have to admit to half. He admitted to half on his own. There is a concept in halacha that if he would have had a better claim, right? He would have had a better claim, then he's neman in his claim through the halacha concept of
migo.
That's something that applies all over Shas. Migo. If you had a better claim, so you could have claimed it and you didn't, we must be that you're telling the truth about your initial claim. So that's what the Gemara was asking over here, says Rabbeinu Tam. You could have denied the whole loan. You could have denied owing any money. And you chose to be mechayev yourself, to obligate yourself, and admit to half. So on that, the Gemara has a question. If you admitted to half, and you could have gotten away with kofar bakol, right? So why aren't you nemen b'migo, and even modu b'miktzas would have been chayav in a shvua? So on that, Rabbeinu Tam says, the Gemara answers, no. I'll tell you why. Because it's not a good migo. Why is it not a good migo? Because I'm not going to spit in the face of my lender. That's what the Gemara was answering. And that's why I don't have that amigo to say that I had a better claim, that you should believe me on a modu b'miktas, and therefore, by halva, modu b'miktas is chayiv. But it's only because the Gemara had an additional. The backdrop of the Gemara was, everyone needs modu b'miktas. Shomrim, the Pasuk says, to use that. But then the Torah says, oh, you want to be mechadesh to me, Erev Parshios, and even apply modu b'miktas outside of where it's said in the Torah, even to the Parsha of Alva, on that the Gemara says, I have a kasha. Because this shouldn't be applied, you shouldn't apply Erev Parshios. Why? Because you have a svara to say not so, because this guy is amigo, he could have been kofar bakol. On that the Gemara answers by Milveh, no, he can't be kofar bakol, because he's never going to be made fun of and spit in the face of the guy he did a favor to, and that's why the Gemara brings it back to its initial understanding that Milveh and Pikadon are shove to shove, and everyone needs Kiyuzeh like the Torah says. But according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara's Kasha was a totally, totally different Kasha. Rabosa, Erev Parshios, according to Rabbeinu Tam, equates Hodolos and Avos to Pikadon to Shomrim, and therefore you need Modu B'miktas by both. Whereas Rashi, that's entirely not true. There's going to be this Machloikas of Erev Parshas that we thought was just a bunch of drushes the first day that we struggled to even focus on, that we thought was going to have an Afkamina at the end of the day. We don't know where you're going to get Gimel Dayanim, a Pasuk, Rabosai. You're learning Maseches Shavuos. You're learning Maseches Bava Metzia. You're learning Maseches this. You're learning Maseches that in Ezekiel. I want to know when are Shavuos applicable, when are not. When is the concept of Modu B'miktas applicable? According to Rashi, it's only a conversation in Avos. According to Tosfos, absolutely not true. You totally misunderstood the whole sugya. And Rabbeinu Tam, Yemirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow, We are going to take it one step further. We're going to see that there's another shita in the Tosos of his understanding of the sugya of Erev Parshios. Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam that we just presented is going to have one more ramification lahalacha in the sugya of Mamatziah, and then we're going to wrap it all up and we're going to move on in Mirtz Hashem to the next Tosos, which is going to have tremendous implications, a good sugya about kfiyah, about forcing kfiyah b'mitzvahs, kfiyah by Bezdin, and Mirtz Hashem we will do that maybe tomorrow, maybe the next week.